Good evening, everyone. It's Saturday, June 26, 2021. I hope you are having a wonderful weekend. We have a great show planned for you this evening. The NFL, once again, will be our main focus in the next hour. Joining me here shortly will be Andrew DeCecco from ESPN 97.3 South Jersey. Andrew covers the Philadelphia Eagles and will get us up to date on what's happening with that organization. The Eagles are in the NFC East Division, one of the most interesting divisions in the NFL. That division will be in the spotlight with the return of Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys. Ryan Fitzpatrick is now with the Washington football team. And you remember last week, we had New York Giants reporter Pat Leonard on talking about Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. Now, if you're a Las Vegas Raiders fan, you're probably asking yourself, why the hell are we interested in the Giants, the Eagles, Cowboys, and the Washington football team? Well, if you look at your Las Vegas Raiders upcoming schedule, you will see that the Raiders play all of these teams this year, not to mention the AFC North, which includes the Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, Cleveland Browns, and the Cincinnati Bengals. So there you go. I'm doing my best attempt at scouting for the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, it all makes sense. And speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, in the second half of the show, I will have Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com. We will take an in-depth look at what's happening with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you definitely want to stick around and hear that interview with one of the hardest working NFL reporters in the business. The Mean Gene Show is brought to you by Presidential Limousine by Captain. It's the official limousine service of the Mean Gene Show. There's probably no way you can experience Las Vegas until you ride in a Presidential Limousine by Captain. If you come to Vegas, make your reservations now by calling 702-438-5466. Or you can text them 702-410-6057. I promise you they will respond right away. The show is also brought to you by the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Experience the award-winning Soul of Motown. This is a high-energy concert-style musical tribute celebrating Motown legends. This is a must-see show during your Las Vegas vacation getaway. For reservations, call 888-796-3564. My next guest covers the Philadelphia Eagles for 97.3 ESPN South Jersey. He's also a contributing writer for ProFootballNetwork.com. Please welcome to the show, Andrew DeCecco. What's up, Andrew?
Gene, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I am great, man. I am excited to have you on the show, and I want to get into some NFL talk, in particular the Eagles. You know, we're roughly, 84 days to the start of the 2021 NFL season. Lots of changes from last year to this year. The biggest, of course, was the trade of Carson Wentz. You guys finished fourth place in the NFC East last year with a 4-11 record. Had a very interesting draft in April, picking up Devontae Smith with the 12th pick overall in the first round. You got his teammate, Landon Dickerson, also in that second round. You also brought in some veteran free agent players, Joe Flacco, running back Jordan Howard. What would you say, Andrew, are the expectations for the Philadelphia Eagles this season?
Well, initially, Gene, it appeared as though it was going to be more of a rebuilding process. I mean, you have a new coaching staff, a very young coaching staff. And you had a lot of young players on the roster, a lot of old players that they were phasing out, a lot of old players that were on the offensive line. So it was like it was a kind of odd blend of youth and veterans that were on the way out that you never thought that they were even going to see the end of the rebuild. But nevertheless, the Eagles have done anything but indicate that it's going to be a rebuilding process. And adding a player like Kerryon Johnson to back up Miles Sanders. Kerryon Johnson still has some juice in his game. He doesn't have the burst or the explosion that he had in past years, but he can still run the ball between the tackles, churn out tough yards, catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, the offensive line, you talk about adding Landon Dickerson. They're also getting Brandon Brooks back from an injury. They're also getting Lane Johnson back from an injury. Jordan Mailata emerged last season, just his third year playing professional football. He was a rugby player in Australia. Seventh round pick of the Eagles in 2018, 233rd overall pick, just came so far with under the tutelage of offensive line coach Jeff Stoutman. They added Devontae Smith in the draft. They have Jalen Hurts, and there's just so many different pieces here that leads you to believe that the Eagles really believe that the NFC East is up for grabs. Now, the ultimately what's going to come down to, Gene, is the defense. Mm-hmm. They don't have a number two corner who's capable of playing a full slate of games opposite Darius Slay. They're going to get picked on mercilessly, and we saw that last year with Avante Maddox. The safety group is comprised of veterans Rodney McLeod and Anthony Harris. They're veteran players. Anthony Harris was an underrated signing, but they're a little bit older. I'm not sure how they particularly run or cover a lot of ground at this stage of their careers. And the linebacking situation is about the most abysmal in football. There's a lot of question marks there. So, I mean, the offense is going to have to carry this team if they want to take home the NFC East crown.
You know what? I got to get your thoughts on the Carson Wentz trade, because, you know, was this the right thing? Was he single-handedly responsible for the failures of the Eagles over the past couple of seasons?
Well, there was a lot of excuses swirling around the NovaCare complex and in regards to Carson Wentz and the lack of weapons and the offense not catering to his strengths. And while that may be the case in some aspects, in Doug Peterson's vanilla play calling, and they didn't get him outside the pocket where he was able to kind of use his mobility to kind of evade pressures and things like that. He took a lot of sacks. He didn't really throw the football away. He wasn't seeing things down the field. There is a substantial regression from the 2017 Carson Wentz that was in the running for an MVP candidate before he tore his ACL against the Rams at the in December. And there was just a significant regression all the way around from 2018. There was a back injury, and he just never seemed to play with the same confidence, and the leadership aspect of his game was really lacking. And he saw the offense have so much more juice and play with a lot more rhythm and cohesiveness when Jalen Hurts was inserted into the lineup. Did Jalen Hurts play mistake-free football? Absolutely not. But you saw in his four games that he was capable of getting the most out of his offense. The guys played hard for him.
Right.
His body language was very positive. He showed a lot of intriguing traits in his game that lead you to believe that he can be a franchise signal caller. There's a long way to go. Remember, he was just kind of thrown in there. He didn't have a preseason to really iron out his deficiencies, but he was kind of thrown in there at the end of the season, and he really showed some encouraging signs. So I think that it's going to be a fresh perspective. You get a young Jalen Hurts to go with a young, enthusiastic coach like Nick Sirianni, mm-hmm. who preaches about competition. He's going to get the best out of every player. And I think that it's going to be ultimately better for the Philadelphia Eagles to kind of move on, turn the page, and continue on with his new coaching staff and young offense.
Okay. Hey, folks, once again, we are talking with Andrew DeCecco, 97.3 ESPN South Jersey, here on the Mean Gene Show. You bring up Doug Peterson, and of course, this was a head scratcher for a lot of folks in the NFL. I mean, were you surprised by the firing of the Super Bowl winning head coach, and was this the owner's decision?
Well, I ultimately thought it was going to be between Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz, and I thought that they were going to afford Doug Peterson one more season to get things right. In fact, it came down to the fact where he met with Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles in Florida, and he had a list of candidates and a method for his and an idea for how he was going to kind of right the ship and get the team back into playoff contention. Okay. And a lot of those names that he had on the paper, Jeffrey Lurie wasn't really – there was a lot of retread coaches. There was a lot of promotions within from the coaching staff that really just had a very disappointing season. So he said, okay – kind of scratch that idea, reconfigure it, come back, we're going to meet again. Mm-hmm. And Doug Peterson met with him again, and he said, these are the guys that I'm going with. Mm-hmm. And it just obviously wasn't going to work out. I don't know that Jeffrey Lurie wanted to do it, but he left him really no choice. Doug Peterson he didn't really have a whole lot of leeway and a whole lot of say in a lot of the decision making. And I think you could sort of really see it wear on him last season and even the latter stage of the season before. And I think he was just over it. I think it was just a good separation. And Nick Sirianni is a youthful coach. He's got a lot of youthful exuberance and a lot of ideas. And he has a background of developing wide receivers, which the Eagles have a lot of young wide receivers there. He also has Kevin Petula over there and Aaron Moorhead. So they have a lot of offensive-minded guys that are really proficient in developing wide receivers. So I do think that you're going to see a strong sense of development there at that position, which they really need. So, I mean, I think it was just overall better for the Philadelphia Eagles to move in a different direction.
See, and I was going to ask about Coach Nick Sirianni, and I know OTAs and mandatory minicamps and all of that stuff is taking place right now. So from what you know, what is the chemistry like so far between the coach and the team?
Well, Nick Sirianni is a very innovative coach. He has this demeanor about him where he preaches competition. He challenges his players in every practice to be to compete in whatever it is, as small or big as it may be. And he also has unlike the previous coaching staff, he's someone that's going to kind of assess what each player is good at and cater to their strengths instead of forcing them into doing something that their skill set doesn't necessarily necessitate or that they're not necessarily as proficient in. He's going to see, okay, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, right? He was a 2019 second round pick. Oh, he has 14 catches to his name in 24 games. Let's see if he can be the red zone presence that we drafted him to be, right? I mean, instead of just saying he squandered his opportunities, we're going to put him on the sideline, we're going to deactivate him. Well, let's see if you can find ways to get him on the field. Will he ever be a bona fide top receiver in football? Probably not, but he does have a skill set there. And I think that the previous coaching staff, even with Jalen Reagor, you drafted Jalen Reagor to be a movable piece where you can get him the ball out of the backfield. You can stretch the field vertically with him. You can get him the ball on dump offs and let him take advantage of his electricity in the open field. The coaching staff did none of that. A lot of that, Jalen Reagor didn't run the sharpest routes. He had a lot of confidence issues and a lot of the pressure from the Philadelphia fan base and media really impacted him. But the coaching staff did not scheme to their players' strengths. And I think that you're going to see that with Nick Sirianni. He preaches competition, and that's something that, you know, instead of having guys being handed jobs in the summer, there's a number of positions this summer that are going to be, talk about left tackle, Andre Dillard and Jordan Mailata, wide receiver 4, cornerback 2. There's just a lot of positions here that are uncertain, and in past years, a lot of these guys have already had their positions outlined and on the depth chart. There hasn't really been a whole lot of camp battles. So, I mean, this is going to be really interesting to see.
Okay, that's great stuff, Andrew, man. Hey, I really appreciate your time this evening. And before I let you go, I need you to please let my listeners know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. You can find me on Twitter at adiceconfl, adiceconfl. You can catch either of my segments. I'm on twice a week at 97.3 ESPN at 4 o'clock. Football 4 segment Tuesdays and Fridays. Talk everything Eagles and NFL related. And check out my work at InsideTheBirds.com.
All right, folks. Thanks again, Andrew DiCecco. 97.3 ESPN South Jersey here on the Mean Gene Show. KDWN 720 AM, 101.5 FM Las Vegas. All right. Andrew DiCecco, ESPN 97.3 South Jersey. Talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I hope he gave you Eagles fans some things to look forward to, as well as some insider information for the Las Vegas Raiders as they get ready to face the Eagles later on in the season. I thought it was interesting with Doug Peterson, because I'm going to be honest with you. I really thought Doug Peterson was the right guy. I mean, here you have a coach who basically was a homegrown guy. Remember, he was a backup quarterback back in the day with the Philadelphia Eagles. So to see that type of a coach come in and just really, you know, have a buy-in with the team, you know, and to see him lead the team to the Super Bowl. I mean, come on, who can forget the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots and that incredible play with Nick Foles to beat the New England Patriots? I mean, that's always going to go down in Eagles history as one of the most dynamic plays happened in a Super Bowl. And the Eagles, I mean, Eagles fans were at the highest moment ever. And that will last forever. And then to see how things just deteriorated because of Carson Wentz. I mean, I just say, I don't know what happened with Carson Wentz. And that will be a question mark forever. Now, the Eagles have since moved and part ways with Carson Wentz, but I did not see Doug Peterson being part of any departure with that team. And it seemed like ownership made that call. And so Doug Peterson, you know, maybe he will get back into coaching at some point in his career. I really thought He was a great coach. Now, Nick Sirianni, who Andrew says, hey, you know, he is getting along well with the players. And, you know, only time will tell if he's the right guy. So this is really going to be an interesting season for the Philadelphia Eagles and how things are going to look for them. They did well in the draft, as Andrew stated, and having the Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith is going to help. Jalen Hurts is now the man leading the Philadelphia Eagles at quarterback. So it's going to be very, very interesting. So we shall see. Now, I can only wish Eagle fans the best, okay, especially after the 76ers meltdown, okay? So there is some good news out of Philadelphia. Heisman Trophy winner and Eagles rookie Devontae Smith did an awesome thing this week, okay? He bought his mom a new house, and I saw the video on his Instagram page, and I must admit, it was pretty cool. And we see this a lot with NFL rookies, and it's definitely heartwarming when you see it, especially knowing all the sacrifices that moms make in order for their sons to play football, and they all deserve a new home. And good job, Devontae Smith. So if you get a chance to go on Instagram and check that out, it's really, really cool. So, all right, the NBA playoffs are in the early stages of the conference finals. And you heard it right here on this show, okay? I told you the Milwaukee Bucks would win the series over the Brooklyn Nets. However, I did not predict they would lose a home game to the Atlanta Hawks. Okay, Nate McMillan has created a beast in Atlanta. I have never seen a perfect fit in a team and a coach like in Atlanta. I mean, this is just great stuff. This team should be great for a long time. And I only hope that the Atlanta management don't find a way to screw this up. I mean, they just all seem to belong together. And they play so well. And I haven't seen team ball play like this in a very long time. I mean, you just don't see it. You don't see any bickering, any turmoil or anything. You're just not seeing that come out of Atlanta. And it's been a long time for the Atlanta Hawks fans since they've seen great chemistry in playoff basketball. I mean, everyone on that team is a contributor. From Herder, Bogdanovich, Trae Young. I knew Trae Young was going to be a superstar when he came out of college. I mean, you are getting some great basketball. Collins, you know, this team, and then, you know, bringing on Nate McMillan, they are going to be great. And they are just, what is it about taking a game one? They did it against the New York Knicks. They did it against the Philadelphia 76ers. And they did it against Milwaukee. Now, I went up to Milwaukee for game four of that Brooklyn Nets series. And that crowd is pretty damn good. I mean, that Fiserv Forum up there, it's a brand new facility. I just opened a couple of years ago. And if you've been watching any of the games in Milwaukee, you see how many folks are outside of that arena. You know, those are folks who probably wanted a ticket and couldn't get one. So it's very, very festive up there. You know, it's almost like a college basketball atmosphere. So for Atlanta to go in there and take a game one, I mean, this team just never bags down. So you are just never safe. You might go on a run, and that's what I like about the NBA playoffs. You know, a 10-15 point lead is never safe. I mean, maybe in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go, and it's probably not even safe then if you're playing against somebody like Trae Young. But this team is just really exciting to watch. Now, as far as Milwaukee, you know, I believe they are going to win this series, but they just have to take better shots. And I know, you know, one of the advantages they have is having someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, there's no way to guard him. Just like with Kevin Durant with Brooklyn, there's sometimes when you have players that have that type of athletic ability, there's no answer for them. And I said that the Atlanta Hawks wouldn't have any answer for him. But they still have to take better shots, you know. And there are times when they just take some of the most ridiculous shots. And they also have to find a way to adjust their in-game matchups. You know, sometimes when you just see someone beating you, you have to find a way to have better matchups. And I, you know, PJ Tucker, who just, you know, was overused, and you would, man, he just really had his work cut out for him in the series against Brooklyn, having to guard Kevin Durant. He should have it a little bit more easier in this series with the Atlanta Hawks, so which means that he should be open for some good jump shots. And so you can see that, wow, he is finding himself a little bit, you know, more open now. And they just really have, that's what I'm talking about when I say making those in-game adjustments. So that should really help out the Milwaukee Bucks in this series. So I just really think they are going to win this series. I think that's going to happen. Over in the Western Conference, well, I'm still trying to find out where Clipper fans really come from. I honestly believe Clipper fans are actually Laker fans who were unable to purchase Laker season tickets. That's just my opinion, okay? This series is hard to figure out with the Phoenix Suns. I'm not understanding what's going on with Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, when do injured players sit with their families in the luxury seats? You know, I saw that the other night, and I know everyone else did. That wasn't a good thing to see. And I remember when LeBron James was out, Anthony Davis was out, injured with the Lakers. Now, there were just some times when LeBron wasn't there. I guess not being there and being spotted in the luxury boxes with your family, you know, eating popcorn and whatever, is just not a good sign. I don't know. I don't know. I don't like that. If the Clippers lose this series, I promise you, we're going to see that video forever and ever. Now, if they're going to win this series without the full services of Kawhi Leonard, we might be talking about a bigger story. You know, and even if Kawhi Leonard comes back, how effective will he be with his knee injury? I mean, will the Clippers use him like the Brooklyn Nets used James Harden in that Bucks series, more like a decoy? I mean, that's only time will tell, because I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to, you know, we're talking about taking jump shots and coming down on that knee. You know, is he going to be effective? I mean, this series is just really hard to figure out. Yeah, Chris Paul is coming back now. As the series continues to go on, he's going to get better and better. And I guess I have to go on record and actually pick someone to win this series. I guess I would have to go with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they are the number two seed. But what is it going to take for the Clippers to actually get over the hump? Paul George is stepping up. Some of the matchups that the Clippers are having the same matchup problems that I mentioned about, you know, with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, when you have a DeMarcus Cousins, you can go big. Like the Dallas Mavericks went big, you know, at one particular time. And, you know, and it helped. For the most part, but the Clippers have bigs, and I don't know. And what happened with that game too? And you know, losing what 0.9 seconds? I mean, how do you do that? You know, I thought maybe you would put the much taller Zubac out there instead of Cousins. I mean, you know, it's not much difference between their height, but still, I don't know. It's that type of a breakdown to lose the way they lost. You have to blame that on coaching. Tyronn Lue has to take that loss in that game, because basically the Phoenix Suns stole a home game. But I mean, this series is interesting though. So I'm not really, you can't call it. You know, the Clippers have played, you know, they have been known to lose games and fight their way back to games. So in order for them to win this series, they, you know, if it goes seven, they're gonna have to win a game in Phoenix. So anyway, we will see. But like I said, I'm gonna go on the record and say that the Phoenix Suns will win this game, this series in seven, just because the curse of the Clippers, I mean, it's always there. So all right, we are at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Brian DiArdo from CBSSports.com will be joining me to talk Pittsburgh Steelers football here on the Mean Gene Show, KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas.